So I wonder what you were hoping for this Easter. A lovely bank holiday, a weekend with your family? Getting on with each other? How's that going? Too early to ask, okay. A lie-in? Not much hope of that, really, with the clocks going forwards. Thanks, the world. A very large Easter egg? Anyone get any of those over here, maybe? Has anyone already eaten their body weight in chocolate? Yeah? Few. Okay, excellent. Couple over here. I wonder what you were hoping for this Easter. Well, I've spent quite a bit of time doing Easter celebrations with preschoolers. And I have to be honest, I've had some really interesting answers when I've sort of asked, what is Easter about? The general sense is that Easter is a celebration when we celebrate chocolate and maybe bunnies bringing eggs, but that's a bit confusing. And we can see why Easter is confusing, can't we? It's a whole Christian festival, all about somebody who died in a rather horrific, barbaric way. But then he seems to be alive again, which we all know is a bit crazy. Even in our reading, the first people who saw the resurrection thought that it was nonsense. So it's not surprising, perhaps, that our world has moved maybe a bit more towards chocolate, bunnies and eggs. Although I do feel that Easter bunnies bringing eggs is probably just as confusing for children and not really helping anyone. But there we go. But it doesn't help us, does it, that there's an awful lot to cover in the Easter story. If you read the Bible accounts of Jesus' life, we see that the gospel writers spent an awfully long time talking about just the last week of Jesus' life in comparison to the rest of it. Luke has a couple of chapters about his birth and childhood, but he's far more about the last week of Jesus' life. 6 of his 24 chapters are just about those last few days. Anyone good with maths? What's that? 6 out of 24? 25%, yes, good job. Clearly, as far as the gospel writers are concerned, the end of Jesus' life is the most important bit. And there was a lot going on. Last Sunday, we remembered that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, hailed as a king with people waving palm branches, a joyful crowd shouting Hosanna. Then on Monday, we went to the temple and Jesus caused a great scene by knocking over tables, money and animals flying everywhere. Who did he think he was? Then during the week, he taught crowds in the temple and people hung on to his every word. But the leaders decided that they had to get rid of him. On Tuesday, or maybe it was Wednesday, we're not sure, we remembered that Mary anointed his feet with oil, expensive perfume. On Thursday, Jesus had a last supper with his closest friends. He washed their feet. They shared bread and wine. And he then told them to do this in memory of him. And then later that night, he was betrayed by a friend and arrested and taken away. On the Friday, he went through a mock trial, physical torture, and was finally crucified. And after several hours of pain and suffering, he died. And later that evening, his body was wrapped and he was placed in a borrowed tomb. And then we get to Sunday. And early on Sunday morning, some of Jesus' female friends, cool women, we were there. I noticed my own name is in that. Excellent. But I promise you I'm not really that old, honest. Went to the tomb to anoint his dead body, as we heard in that reading that Tim read for us. But they couldn't find the body. And angels said that he has risen. So there really is a lot going on in that Easter story. But you'll be pleased to know that I have the ultimate explanation of Easter this morning that will make everything so much clearer. And because it's Easter, and you know, I like to kind of go with the vibe, I've put it in this egg. So I've got an egg here that has the key to the Easter story. Adeline, do you want to come and open it, see what's inside? Come on then. Come and have a look. Do you want to turn around so you can see? So inside this egg is the most important part of Easter. Are you ready to open it?
Yeah.
You sure? Yeah. Absolutely sure. Yeah. Look, it even goes with your outfit. Sure, let me, I'll keep it. Oh, okay, go on then. Open it up. Twist, pull. Oh, it's just going to go round a bit. Okay, I'll hold the bottom. Nothing at all.
Is it empty?
Yeah.
It's empty. Well, actually, empty is the most important thing about Easter. Let's have a look at that. You will get an egg at the end, I promise. Come and sit down. Empty. Actually, there's lots going on, but if we just grasp hold of empty, we'll probably have the most important thing. I wonder if you would have described Easter as empty. Well, let me just explain what I mean. There are two really key empty things that are going on at Easter. And the first empty thing we remember is the cross. The cross is empty. The original symbol of Christianity, as we've got on the wall up here, is an empty cross. Apparently, crucifixes didn't appear until the 6th century. One of Jesus' last sentences as he hung on the cross was, "It is finished." The empty cross means that our sin has been paid for. We are forgiven. Our guilt has gone. Many of us spend our whole lives carrying a heavy burden that we've failed, that we're not quite good enough. The empty cross says, "You think you're not good enough? Well, you're right, you're definitely not good enough, but it's okay. You don't need to be, because I am, and I have paid the bill in full. Jesus has taken it all. It's finished, gone, done. The cross is empty. There's nothing left to say." So if you've come this morning to church carrying the burden of other people's expectations, or maybe your own expectations, Jesus' empty cross says, "You can leave that with me. Jesus has done what you could not. It's finished. Past tense. Gone. Done." I wonder if this Easter morning, some of us need to be reminded that the cross is empty. We are forgiven. Maybe we need to experience afresh, or even for the first time, that the message of Easter speaks forgiveness and freedom to our battered souls. The cross is empty. It's finished. And then the second thing about Easter that's empty is the tomb. At the heart of the Christian message is that when the women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, they found it empty. Jesus' body had gone. It hadn't been stolen. The tomb had been guarded heavily. Jesus hadn't recovered and escaped. He'd been well and truly dead. A spear had been stuck in the side of him to make sure. The reason the tomb was empty was because miraculously, in some ridiculous reversal of the laws of nature, Jesus was now alive again. But not just resuscitated in his old battered body, but alive with a new resurrected body, the start of a whole new reality. The empty tomb meant that life for Jesus' disciples was never going to be the same again. In fact, the world was never going to be the same again. I wonder if this Easter morning we have discovered that ourselves. Or is the empty tomb still somebody else's promise? Maybe this morning some of us need to be reminded that the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Maybe we need to experience afresh that message of Easter, which speaks possibility and hope to our weary souls. The empty tomb reminds us that Jesus is truly alive, however ridiculous that may seem. God is more powerful than we could ever imagine. And in the immortal words of Han Solo, "I can imagine a lot. Maybe you can too." But the empty tomb reminds us that God is more powerful than we had ever imagined. And that same God wants to be at work in our lives too today. The tomb is empty. Something new has begun. So at the heart of Easter, the most important thing is something empty. The empty cross and the empty tomb. I wonder, what does the promise of the empty tomb mean for you today? Claire's going to come and read a poem called The Promise of the Empty Tomb.